ナモミョウホレンゲイキョウ、ナモミョウホレンゲイキョウ、ナモミョウホレンゲイキョウ。Hi friends, I'm laughing. I've been gone a few days, so I apologize for that. Just life stuff. Apologies. Boy, I miss you guys when I don't do this daily. That's just selfish. I really only feel like I'm in my element when I'm communicating to you. I hope this finds you in good spirits, well, and safe. This chapter of the Lotus Sutra that we're in kicks my butt every time. For instance, the next statement is, again, Manjushri, after the extinction of the Tathagata in the period of the decline of the law, the period that we're all in, he who desires to teach this sutra should abide in the pleasant ministry of speech. In other words, the second of the four methods, that is, the pleasant practice or ministry of the mouth, lips, or speech. My speech isn't always pleasant. My attitude and my intent is always, in my mind, to be helpful. But how many of us have thought we were being helpful only to have somebody we were helping turn to us and accuse us of the vilest things, or making them feel bad, right? Those feelings. I mean, we could talk about samsara and its manipulations of our mind all day long, right? Emails are the worst, because if I adopt my normal speech patterns and put them in an email, they don't always come across as jocular as they're meant to be. Communication, language, yeah. Again, I'm reminded of that quote by, I'm going to forget his name now. He wrote Naked Lunch and, oh my goodness, why can't I think of his name? Anyway, he said, language is a virus from outer space. Which, yeah. Anyway, wherever he orally proclaims or reads the sutra, he takes no pleasure in telling of the errors of others of the sutra. Neither does he despise other teachers. So that makes me feel a little better. You know, when my speech isn't as, on first glance, maybe as cuddly as one might like it to be. I don't take pleasure in shaking up some, you know, somebody called me and there was a reaction to this in a previous video. I was talking about living in a Bible Belt and, you know, bursting people's bubbles of misunderstanding of Buddhist teachings. And he called me the bubble-bursting Bible Belt Bodhisattva. Oh, gosh. And I have flirted with making T-shirts of that. But that would be egotistical, but it's just funny. So yeah, in the spirit of bubble bursting, there's no pleasure in it. Analogies are offered to try to gain access to thoughts, right? What do we call it? Skillful means, right? Devices. And that's, you know, that's part of language, isn't it? So I'm giving myself an out, if you can't tell. Nor speaks of the good and deluded and malicious, the merits and the demerits of other people. In other words, for the sake of, putting them down or elevating them unduly. This is just one of the foibles of language. And I certainly run into that all the time. Nor singles out Shravakas by name and publishes their errors and or delusions, nor by name praises their excellences. Okay, this is Shakyamuni. This is a translation of translations of memorizations and memory of what Shakyamuni was said to have said. So add all of that together. However, I will say, right, Nitrin is our modern example and well documented as such by himself, singling out other teachers and publishing their errors or delusions was a big part of Nitrin's practice, wasn't it? But always remember that he didn't do it for the pleasure of putting them down. It wasn't a pleasurable experience, though he had to do a lot of it. He was living in a day and age, our day and age, when... Oh, sorry, computer's yelling at me. When other teachers were defiling Shakyamuni's teachings. So, really, there's no real gentle way to do that, because we'll also read where Shakyamuni says, if you don't correct a Buddhist who's promulgating incorrectly the teachings of Buddhism, then you are complicit in it, because you know that they're doing it. So they're competing thoughts there, right? But in this part of the Lotus Sutra, he's simply talking to those in the assembly who desire to support and promulgate this Lotus Sutra, that their guiding principle is one of bodhisattva, of elevating others, right? So in that context, it makes sense that he would say this, right? Nor does he beget an individuous mind. By keeping well such a cheerful heart as this, those who hear will offer no opposition to him. To those who ask difficult questions, he does not answer with the law of the small vehicle, but only the great law, the great vehicle, and explains it to them that they may obtain perfect knowledge. Now there's another kind of a contradiction, isn't it? Because he's also told us, as bodhisattvas of the future, that should we need to traffic in the lesser vehicles, we may need as expedient devices to raise people's consciousness until they can absorb the Lotus Sutra. And here he would seem to say, if people have difficult questions, don't answer them from the lesser vehicles. I suppose that makes sense, but it could look like a contradiction, right? So when you answer somebody, no matter what their level of Buddhist understanding, you answer from the place of Myoho Renge Kyo. And this brings to mind, and now I'll just read this real quick. Thereupon the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. So, in verse, as I pointed out before, he usually is more direct about what he means, because that's the memorization part, right? But I will preface it with just one quick note. I often get emails asking about, I have so many videos about this. What should be my attitude when I... Go to the Butsudan, go to the mandala, try to open Gohonzon. What should be in my mind? What should be in my head? How should I do this? What if I chant about this? What if I chant about that? How do I chant for others? All of those questions, those are human questions. So don't feel bad about asking them, but you have to understand something. And I constantly try to drive this home. There's only one purpose for Buddhism, for our lives on this planet as human beings. And that is to see all situations, every aspect of our lives and those of our environment, our friends, our relatives, our parents, our daughters, our associates, our garden, our skies, other countries, other cultures, everything in the cosmos is to be viewed through the lens of Gohwansun mind, our open Buddha eye. That's the whole goal. If your goal in approaching the Butsudan, chanting, reciting, is anything other than opening Buddha in your mind, then you're trying to force feed samsara into your practice. That is not the goal of Buddhism. Everything else in your mind, and this, you should hear this as a caution of how powerful and strong samsara is in your mind. Listen, our physical existence is born of samsara mind. It's always there, and it's always ready to distract us and pull us away from our goal. We have so many cliches for it, if you just think for a moment. Yeah? Somebody's in a lot of pain. Somebody with empathy and sympathy comes to you. And what do they say to you? Think about your happy place. Think about a sunset at the ocean. Think about something else. Of course, that's using samsara against samsara. That's not going to attain enlightenment. We've read that almost specifically in this book. The foolishness of using samsara against samsara does not lead you to enlightenment. The point of the undercurrent, the subtext beneath all of this is, if you open your Buddha mind, whatever you're struggling with becomes so minimized because that's not important. It's true. No matter if your leg is amputated in an accident, it's not important. What's important is your consciousness, your opportunity to be in Buddha. You may, as Nichiren says, suffer what there is to suffer, but enjoy what there is to enjoy. And at the end of all that, chant. Chant not for your leg to grow back. Chant not for reversal of time so the accident never happened. That's all samsara. That's where suffering lies. I know it's a hard lesson. But if you open your Buddha eye and you live in that Buddha mind, it's just a leg. It's not your life. It's not your mind. It's not your enlightenment. You just work with what you got. And that's where real joy is, in Buddha. Like I say, there's no magic or mysticism in Buddha. You can't chant your leg back. Now, I'm not talking to anyone specific out there, so please don't take this personally. But it is personal on the level of all of us. How many times have I woke up in the morning, whether it's 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or 8 o'clock, and thought, ugh, I don't know if I'm ready to wake up. I mean, just that. I hear myself think those thoughts and I think, silly human. It's not about waking up. It's about being awake. Yeah. Right? It's such a difficult lesson. The bodhisattva ever delights and is at ease in teaching the law. Nothing else matters. In a clean and pure spot, setting up his pulpit, he anoints himself with oil, having bathed away uncleanliness, puts on a new clean robe, all clean within and without. You see, the analogies abound here, the similes, the metaphors. Calmly seated on the law throne, he teaches as he is questioned. We respond to those seeking the way. We don't just orate for our own edification, right? Bodhisattva. If there be any bhikshus and bhikshunis, male lay disciples and female lay disciples, upasikas and upasakas, kings and princes, their retainers and people, he teaches the a priori principle to them with a gentle countenance, maybe even a furry one. If there be any difficult question, he answers according to its meaning, by reasonings and parables, he expounds and discriminates it. Break it down, yeah? By this tactful method, he stirs them all into earnestness, to steady advance and entry on the Buddha way. Always Buddha way. Buddha way. Not fix me way, Buddha way. If you achieve the Buddha way, what is there to fix? That's the point. It's a tough lesson, I understand. But you should, that's in your own mind, you should have your own little police in there. Why am I thinking there? I should be thinking Buddha I, Buddha I. He rids himself of a lazy mind. What's a lazy mind? A mind that constantly slips back into samsara, because that's easy. I can't do this today because my hair is terrible. And slackness of thought. Oops. Yeah, Buddhism is freaking strict. But it's the answer. Why would you avoid the answer? He is free from all worries and with kindly heart proclaims day and night. He ever propounds the teaching of the Supreme Way. By various reasonings and innumerable parables, revealing it to the living and causing them all to rejoice. Well, I live by that. I don't know how many people I cause to rejoice, but yeah, parables, they're kind of my thing. Not that I'm excellent at it. I can hear some of you, you've written me. Sometimes your parables, okay. Sometimes Buddhism is like that, yeah? Garments and provision for sleep, drink, food, and medicines. For all these things, he has no anticipation. Anticipation. It's another word for anticipation. Being drawn to, craving and clinging. Desires, samsara, disguised as anticipation. Only with single mind, there's that darn thing again. He thinks of the cause of his teaching the law, resolved on accomplishing the Buddha way and causing all others likewise to do so. Attain Buddha now. Attain Buddha always. Anytime something bothers you, whoop, Buddha. Single-mindedly Buddha, Buddha, Buddha should be the only thing on your mind. That's not metaphysical. It's not magical. It's a focus. Yeah. This, then, is his great profit and joy and service. After my extinction, if there are any bhikshu who is able to proclaim this wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra, his mind will be free from envy, from distresses and obstacles, and from grief and sorrow, as well as from the abuse of others. There's a refrigerator magnet. After my extinction, if there is any bhikshu who is able to proclaim this wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra, his mind will be free from envy, from distresses and obstacles, and free from grief and sorrow, as well as from the abuse of others. Further, he will be free from fear, free from laying on of swords and staves, nor will he be driven away because he is steadfast in forbearance, which is the twin sister of perseverance. Yeah. The wise man in such ways as these rightly cultivates his mind. What mind? The mind of Buddha. Being able to dwell at ease, as I have said above. The merit of that man, though thousands of myriads of kotas of kalpas were reckoned in illustration, is incapable of full expression. I mean, again, Manjushri, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, who in the corrupt ages to come, when the law is about to perish, receives and keeps, reads and recites this sutra, does not cherish an envious and deceitful mind. When he says deceitful mind, he's not talking about a mind that creates deceit of others. He's talking about deceit of our own. We deceive ourselves. Nor does he slight and abuse others, other learners of the Buddha way, and seek out their excesses and shortcomings. I'm not criticizing anyone here. As I said earlier, I'm not talking about anyone specific. I'm talking about my own experience in life, what I've experienced for myself, with myself, by myself, and of others who I've been in relations with, as friends, relatives, encounters. If there be bhikshus, bhikshunis, male and female lay disciples who seek after sravakaship, or seek after pratyaka buddhahood, or seek after bodhisattva way, he does not distress them, causing them doubts and regrets, saying to them, you are far removed from the way and will never be able to attain to perfect knowledge. For what reason? Because you are unstable people and remiss in the way. Moreover, you should not indulge in discussions about the laws or engage in disputations. Do not engage in disputations. Do not engage with people of erroneous views that are trying to convince you Don't engage those people. Teach them the law and move on without expectation. Remember, we read that already. But in regard to all the living, he should think of them with great compassion. Oh. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Are you chanting Namo Myoho Renge Kyo? No, not that. That's not Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Seven characters, seven jewels. Refer to the chapter on the apparition of the great stupa, the seven-jeweled treasure tower. Seven. In regard to the Tathagatas, he should think of them, or the Tathagata, as benevolent fathers, right? We always have Buddha in our own mind is our parent. Remember, parent, teacher, sovereign? It's built into you. You don't have to go to the archives of births and and seek your estranged parent. It's right here. It's in your mind. You already know. That's the sole mission of this life, is to wake up what you already know. Gosh, that's hard to understand. In regard to the bodhisattvas, he should think of them as his great teachers, or I would say reminderers. In regard to the universal great bodhisattvas, he should ever, from his deepest heart, revere and venerate them. In regard to all living beings, he should teach the law equally, so as to accord with the law, neither more nor less. Even for those who deeply love the law, he will not teach more than it. We traffic in Myoho Renge Kyo. Somebody may be pursuing Sravakahood or Pratyaka Buddhahood. And whenever I meet them, I encourage them to come chant with me. I'm going to chant from Myoho Renge Kyo. I'm going to chant from the great parent, teacher, and sovereign. The highest expression of our sentient mind. Buddha. Manjushri, when this Bodhisattva Mahasattva in the last age, when the law is about to perish, has accomplished this third pleasant ministry of thought, the third pleasant ministry, practice or ministry is of the mind or thought. You want to know what should be going on in your mind? The third pleasant practice or ministry is of the mind or thought. What mind or thought? Of Buddha-ness, yes? And teaches this sutra, nothing will be able to disturb him. He will find good fellow students who will read and recite this sutra with him. He will also find a great multitude come and hear him, who after hearing are able to observe it, after observing are able to recite it, after reciting are able to teach it, after teaching are able to copy or cause others to copy it, and who will pay homage to the sutra, revering, honoring, and extolling it. Then the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. And I will interlude again here. For those of us who have previous friendships born of previous erroneous sects and groups, that is the past. Do not focus on correcting your past. Those friends are no longer good friends if they are traveling you into the past erroneous views. You need to make new friends. And how do you do that? There it is, one simple paragraph. Teach this sutra. Nothing will be able to disturb you. You will find good fellow students. You will find them by teaching them. And they will read and recite the sutra with you, good friends. He will also find a great multitude come to hear him. The word will spread. Who upon hearing are able to observe it, they will be. How do you teach Gongyo to somebody? You let them observe it, hear it. Once they observe it, hear it, they're able to recite it. After reciting, are able to teach it. And after teaching, are able to copy or cause others to copy. This is the person-to-person promulgation of Myoho Renge Kyo. If those previous friends of erroneous views then seek you out, now is when you teach them, because they have an open mind. But the minds of resistance, those are not open minds. You're wasting your effort and your enlightenment. You're getting in your way because you want to go back and fix history. Move on. If one would teach this sutra, let him renounce an envious, angry, proud, deceitful, or false mind, and ever do upright deeds. He should disparage none, and never for diversion discuss the laws, nor cause others doubt or regret, saying, you'll never become Buddhas. No, why do you need to insult people? Everyone's a Buddha. If they don't become Buddha, it's because they don't care to. How lamentable. We want to suggest that those people become Buddhas. You have Buddha built in. Let's express it. This Buddha son, in teaching the law, will ever be gentle, patient, and compassionate to all, with never a thought of slackness. Right? Never sit back and let some erroneous views suck you in. I see that you're trying. Let's chant together. Don't waste your time on proving them wrong. That's samsara. Just be right. Just be right. Let them see right, then they will learn. Sounds so simple. To the great bodhisattvas everywhere who walk the way in pity for all, he should beget a reverent mind, thinking to himself, these are my great teachers. To all world-honored Buddhas, he should feel as to peerless fathers. And suppressing his haughty spirit, should teach the law without hindrance. Let the wise man guard it. Such is the third method. Such a single-hearted, pleasant ministry will be revered by countless hosts. Again, Manjushri, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva in the last ages to come when the law is about to perish, who keeps this law flower Dharma Sutra, should beget a spirit of great charity to laymen and monks, and beget a spirit of great compassion for those not yet bodhisattvas. And he should reflect thus, such people as these have suffered a great loss. Be they not even aware of it, right? Most are not. The law taught, as opportunity served, by the tactful method of the Tathagata, they have neither heard nor known, nor apprehended, nor inquired for, nor accepted in, or nor understood. Though those people have not inquired for, nor accepted in, nor understood this sutra, when I have attained perfect enlightenment, whenever, wherever I am, by my transcendental powers and powers of wisdom, I will lead them to abide this law. Abide in this law. Manjushri, this Bodhisattva Mahasattva, who after the extinction of the Tathagata has accomplished this fourth method, when he teaches this law, will be free from errors. He will ever be revered, venerated, honored, and extolled by bhikshus, bhikshunis, male and female lay devotees, by kings and princes, by their ministers and people, by brahmas and citizens, and by others. All the universal realms of influence in the sky, also in order to hear the law, will always follow and attend on him. If he be in a village or a city or secluded forest, and someone comes desiring to put difficult questions to him, the universal realms of influence, day and night, for the sake of the law, will constantly guard and protect him, so that he shall be able to cause all his hearers to rejoice. This is the practice or ministry of the vow that you and I took to uphold and to promulgate Myoho Renge Kyo. For what reason? Because this sutra is that which all past, future, and present Buddhas watch over by their transcendent power. Because past and future are happening now, moment to moment, moment to moment. And in this moment, with Buddha mind, Buddha consciousness, what else could there be? Manjushri, in countless countries, even the name of this law flower Dharma Sutra cannot be heard. How much less can it be seen, received, and kept, read, and recited? Manjushri, it is like a powerful, revered, wheel-rolling king who desires by force to conquer other domains. When minor kings do not obey his command, the wheel-rolling king calls up his various armies and goes to punish them. The king, seeing his soldiers who distinguish themselves in the war, is greatly pleased and, according to their merit, bestows rewards, either giving fields, houses, villages, or cities, or giving garments or personal ornaments, or giving all kinds of treasures, gold, silver, lapis lazuli, moonstones, agates, coral, amber, elephants, horses, carriages, litters, male and female slaves, and people. Only the crown jewel on his head he gives to none. You have to hold on to your own Buddhahood. You can lavish all kinds of praise on those who are coming along the way to Buddhahood for themselves, but you never give away your own. In other words, never lose your mind of Buddha. Let yourself slip into your deceitful samsaric tendencies in order to lavish praise. Always the praise comes from Myoho Renge Kyo. Otherwise, it's meaningless. It's utterly meaningless. It's worse than meaningless. It's a diversion. Because only the head of the king may this soul jewel be worn, and if he gave it, all the king's retinue would be astounded. Yeah. Manjushri, the Tathagata, is also like this. By his powers of meditation and wisdom, he has taken possession of the domain of the law and rules as king over the triple world. Who's the king? Buddha. Buddha mind, not a person. That means Buddha mind observes everything, everywhere, all at once, moment to moment. There's no delusions of the past, no craving for the future. The Tathagata, wise and revered generals, might fight with them. With those who distinguish themselves, he too is pleased, and in the midst of his four host teaches the sutras to them, causing them to rejoice, and bestows on them the meditations, the emancipations, the faultless roots and powers, and all the wealth of the law. In addition, he gives them the city of Nirvana, saying that they have attained extinction, and attracts their minds so that they all rejoice. Yet he does not teach to them this Law Flower Sutra. Manjushri, just as the wheel-rolling king, seeing his soldiers who distinguish themselves, is so extremely pleased that now at last he gives them the incredible jewel so long worn on his head, which may not want only... Oops. Where's one of those little stickers? Gonna use them. Oh, arthritis. Well, I should have thought to open this before. Okay, that's gonna have to wait. Sorry about that. As the great law king of the triple world, teaching and converting all living by the law, when he sees this wise and revered army fighting with the Mara of the five mental processes, the Mara of earthly cares, and the Mara of death, and doing so with the great exploits and merits, exterminating the three poisons, escaping from the triple world, and breaking through the nets of the Maras, then the Tathagata also is greatly pleased, and now, at last, teaches the great Law Flower Dharma Sutra, which has never been taught before, and which is able to cause all the living to reach perfect knowledge, though all the world greatly resents and has difficulty in accepting it. All right. I'm going to pause there, see if this thing is rejuvenated. Yay, it came back to life. All right, we will continue in the next video. Hopefully that will be sooner than later. Oh, man. All right, thank you so much for being here, for listening, for your practice. It's so incredible, right? And I hope that as we continue to review this Lotus Sutra, this TLK, Threefold Lotus Kuan, annotated Lotus Sutra, that you'll all see for yourselves what an incredible manual and really distinctly clear, purposeful message it has for our practice today. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, friends. Take care of your health. Links in the description. If you want to get ebooks, print books, mandalas, all of it, the free podcasts, the audio podcasts, all that free info on threefoldlotus.com. Let me know if there's anything there that's lacking that I can provide. And take care of your health, right? Keep your practice strong. I'm incredibly grateful for all of you. I'm so proud of this Sangha and all that you do. I know the effort. We're talking about the effort, aren't we? Yeah, people might think it's just chanting, but there's so much intention in that Daimoku, yeah? All right, I'll let you go. See you in the next one, next video, of course. Bye for now.